At 8:22, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. The Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program has given legal protections to more than 120,000 Texans since 2012. Out of fear, many so-called dreamers in North Texas didn't want to talk to us about the president's decision to wind down DACA. But one dreamer did speak with KERA's Bill Siebel.
Juan Carlos Cerda is 25. He came here from Mexico with his parents when he was 7. He graduated from Yale in 2015, then taught for 2 years through Teach for America. He's an immigration campaign organizer for the Texas Organizing Project. And he's a so-called dreamer, one of 800,000 across the country who are part of the DACA program. They were brought to the U.S. illegally as children.
I am very overwhelmed right now, overwhelmed with fear for my family's future.
Cerda expected a different decision from President Trump, given remarks he'd made sympathetic to children in this country through no fault of their own.
I'm extremely disappointed with President Trump's decision to end the DACA program because he had said that he had a big heart and that he would take care of everyone.
DACA will end in 6 months to give Congress time to find a legislative solution for the immigrants. Cerda wants Congress to come up with some immigration reform, some path to permanent residency for DACA recipients. Leaders of both parties, including Republican House Speaker Paul Ryan, say they want something like that. So Cerda is hopeful.
Piecemeal immigration reform makes the most sense, focusing first on a DREAM Act, a law that will provide a pathway to permanent residency for DACA recipients.
Cerda says the deadline's an incentive for Congress to act sooner than later. Other serious concerns, like growing tensions with North Korea, are important too. But he believes it would be unwise to kick DACA down the road.
DACA is all over the media. It's today's big story. 6 months from now, it'll be a big story again.
Which Cerda says will create big problems for Congress if nothing's done by then. He says dreamers are not going to stay silent. Bill Siebel, KERA News.
Now to Breakthroughs, where we explore the latest in health, science, and technology. There are a number of differences between the shelters housing Harvey evacuees and the ones victims of Katrina stayed in 12 years ago. A big one is telemedicine. Children, especially, are being treated by doctors in remote locations. Lauren Silverman checked in with the doctors and nurses coordinating the care in Dallas.
Nurse Laura Link has helped care for kids at shelters in Baton Rouge after Hurricane Katrina and in Dallas after Hurricane Gustav in 2008. Both times, the challenge was the same, deciding whether to send a sick kid to the emergency room.
Normally, if a child came in, they're having an asthma attack, the doctors would say, get them to the children's ER. Well, what that does to the family is it separates them. And think about it. If you have a mom there and she has 3 kids and one has to go to the ER, mom has to either lug all 3 kids to the ER, and these children have already been displaced. They're scared to death, and we're going to pick them up out of a place that is becoming familiar and plop them into a busy ER.
One way to avoid that trip to the ER is with a virtual doctor's visit. Link, who oversees virtual medicine for Children's Health System in Dallas, spent last Tuesday setting up a virtual visit room at the downtown Dallas mega shelter inside the K. Bailey Hutchison Convention Center. Within hours, her team created some privacy with a blue tarp, got an internet connection, and hauled in a rolling cart with a big screen and digital medical instruments, all designed to connect kids at the shelter with ER docs at Children's.
Our Children's Emergency Room specialist can listen to that child through the special stethoscope. He can see them over video. He can talk to them. He can get history from mom. And then he can collaborate with that doctor and say, hey, instead of putting him in an ambulance, let's try A, B, and C, and see if we can stabilize that child enough without taking them out of what has become their temporary home.
Link's next challenge was staffing. See, if a kid gets a bad stomach ache in the middle of the night and needs to see an ER doctor, someone still needs to make the appointment, prep the equipment, and assist the volunteer doctor at the shelter with using the special telemedicine tools.
As we're running around trying to figure out, okay, who's going to do this because the shelter medical staff are so busy,
she got an idea.
I'd been working with the Texas State Guard all morning because they were helping us with other pieces that we need to put together, and every one of their soldiers would just step forward and say, I can help with that. And so I just went to their commander and said, I have a great idea for collaboration.
That's right. Children's Health partnered with the Texas State Guard.
I don't know that this has ever happened.
The clinic's State Guard members are medically trained. They're EMTs or nurses or medics, so all Children's had to do is train them on telemedicine. Now, when a sick kid shows up, the Guard soldiers take vitals, coordinate the consult, and assist the doctors with the remote virtual visit.
And when it's time for the actual consult, they radio that physician and say, "We're ready for you." He walks down, steps in front of the camera, goes live, has the consult, and then gets right back to taking care of other patients.
More time with patients, less time on process. Dr. Maeve Sheehan, Chief of Inpatient Services at Children's Health, says the technology is also helpful for the healthcare providers at the shelter who have a question for a child specialist.
You know, this child is obviously distressed, they're anxious, is there some medication I can give this child? And they have access to the experts who can tell them it's appropriate to give this to this age child, because children are not small adults. The kind of medicines used for adults are not appropriate for children.
Sheehan says the health impact of a disaster like this on a kid could be different from an adult. And she worries about children who are already sick, who might not have access to their medications for weeks.
So even if we provide acute services in the short term, we need a long-term plan for how we're going to manage this and how do we take care of those children, because they will continue to be affected long after the water has receded, both mentally and physically.
Sheehan expects there will be 3 kids for every adult who shows up at the shelter. That means there will be plenty of chances for doctors and soldiers to use telemedicine and keep families together after the storm. Lauren Silverman, KERA News.
Nice cooler day ahead of us. Mostly sunny skies, a high near 85 this afternoon. Overnight low near 61. And then tomorrow, sunny again with a high near 86. It's 67 degrees in Dallas, 65 in Fort Worth, 61 in Wichita Falls, and 63 degrees in Tyler.